Our Father, we ask thy blessing as this day we come to worship thee in the name and in the spirit of him who is to us the Lord and Master of us all. We ask thy blessing upon our thought together this day and this week as we think of others who suffer in this world and who need to hear about Jesus Christ, who need from us the bread of life that is found in his word, and who need from us also the physical bread, that they may have life and know something of the goodness of life as thou hast planned for thy children. Bless us then in our thought together, and hear us as we pray, as the Lord Christ is taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.
Amen.
I may say it without seeming irreverent, it's a good thing the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because our speaker will not be here. We had hoped very much that to inaugurate this week dealing with the terrible conditions in the starving areas of Africa, we could have Dr. Carl Tiller, who is the director and coordinator of Baptist World Relief for the Baptist World Alliance. We hope very much that he will get here in time to meet some of you in the Commons Room who are free at 11 o'clock or before lunch, and then that he can meet Dr. Tull's class at 12 o'clock. We hope that sometime this afternoon, some of you who are free in the Commons Room may be able to talk with him about conditions with which he is so familiar. Then you remember that tomorrow we meet in the Commons Room at the chapel hour, and there will be a discussion of world food conditions led by Dr. Mosley of our own campus and the Dean of NC State. On Thursday, there will be in Johnson a film depicting the conditions in the Sahelian Desert where the starvation has been so bad. And then on Friday at 10 in Appleby, Dr. Copeland will lead a prayer and worship service. Dr. Tiller, who was to have been here, is a remarkable person, dedicated Baptist layman. He and his wife have made many missionary journeys around the world at their own expense. He has served as president of the American Baptist Convention. He was employed for a good many years as one of the leaders in the budget department of the United States government in Washington. He always wanted to do some distinctive type of Christian work. And a couple of years ago, he took early retirement from his government job, became an associate secretary of the Baptist World Alliance, in charge of Baptist World Relief, among other things. But since he can't be here this morning, let me just review briefly for you something about the history of Baptist World Relief and what is being done by Baptists around the world in the fellowship of the Baptist World Alliance. It's rather an interesting and a long story that goes back to World War I. After World War I, there was a great deal of starvation and misery in Europe, and under the Baptist Missionary Society in England, a relief committee was organized that did a great deal to help starving and needy people in Europe immediately succeeding World War I have food and clothing to keep body and soul together. Dr. James Henry Rushbrook, who was secretary of the Baptist Missionary Society's relief program, was also active in the Baptist World Alliance and enlisted the support of the Alliance, and a relief committee was organized. They did a great deal of work in Europe between World War I and World War II. The destruction of World War II caused a great deal of misery in Europe. Some of us had an opportunity to see it just after the war was over when we went to the Baptist World Congress in Copenhagen in 1947. We went by a sealed train from the Hook of Holland all the way up to Copenhagen by rail and by ferry. That train was sealed. We were not supposed to leave, and no one else could get on board. Wherever the train stopped, refugees crowded around, wanting our lunch boxes. Each of us had been given a box with a bit of fruit, a fish sandwich, and not much else. Most of us couldn't eat. As we saw the hungry people and the lunch boxes went to the needy, we saw the terrible destruction and devastation caused by the bombing of World War II. So when we got to Copenhagen, The Baptist World Relief Committee was reorganized. It was enlarged. Dr. Paul Caudle of Memphis, Tennessee was elected the chairman. We employed a man to be in charge of relief work in Europe on our behalf, and a vast program of relief began. Dr. Rushbrook had come to Chicago earlier through the devastated areas and over the dangerous minefields of the Atlantic to meet with us in Chicago. And there we had planned for this enlargement of the relief committee, which came to pass in Copenhagen. The relief needs were so evident because Baptists came from all over Europe to the Baptist World Congress in Copenhagen. As they came, their clothing was in tatters. They were emaciated from near starvation. Scandinavian Baptists housed them and fed them. But they needed clothing. They needed toilet articles. You couldn't buy a cake of soap anywhere in Europe. And so they asked us to give all we could. The next morning, the tables were piled high. Many people were going directly home from Copenhagen practically emptied their suitcases. There were suits, shirts, dresses, all types of clothing, soap, toilet articles, piled high on the tables. And the Scandinavian Baptists distributed them wisely to these needy Baptist brethren. Well, after that, there was no question about the need and about Baptists trying to meet it. When we went on from that trip to Italy, Ms. Adams and I found out how difficult things could be. We ran out of soap when we got to Italy. When you're traveling with a family of three children, a husband and a wife, and no soap, it can raise some problems. We said to Manfredi Ronchi, the head of our Baptist work in Italy, Dr. Ronchi, we've run out of soap. Is there any place in Rome where we could buy a cake of soap? He said, you couldn't buy a cake of soap anywhere in Rome or Italy today. But he said, I do have some relief parcels that came with some soap in. I'll loan you one bar. So we got one bar of relief soap. But that's just a little inkling of how desperate things were. Dr. Oscar Johnson, the president of the Baptist World Alliance from 47 to 50, visited in some of the countries in Eastern Europe. After the evening service at one little Baptist church, everybody came by and kissed his hand. And he wondered why. Until finally, the senior deacon in the church said, sir, if it had not been for the food and the clothing that you Baptists sent to us, we would all be dead. When you went, as I went to a Baptist meeting in Italy, you kept on your overcoat. You wore all the clothing you had with you. There was no heat in the midst of an Italian winter. You saw how desperate the needs were, and you were so grateful for care packages that were coming. We went across Italy to Bari in the midst of the grain belt, and there, Dr. Ronchi visited the home of a Baptist family where the wife was baking white bread on a little open fire oven in the middle of her kitchen. She gave Dr. Ronchi one loaf. He wouldn't eat it. He was thin and emaciated and almost starved himself. But he cut that into pieces that would fit in his briefcase and carried it home for his children. And the next morning I said, how was the bread? He said, it was like cake. They'd not seen white bread for years. In England it was bad. Dr. Rushbrook told me how one time at a seaport town he found a few bananas, and he took bananas home to his grandchildren. And as they saw them, they said, how do we eat these? Through all the war years, they'd never even seen a banana, didn't know what it was. Food was rationed in England. But out of their meager rations, English Baptists sent food parcels to their brethren on the continent just to keep them from starving. Here in this country, Dr. Lewis, the Secretary of the Baptist World Alliance, called me one day and said, "Ted, some of my old associates who worked with Herbert Hoover in relief after World War I are going to form a cooperative for American relief in Europe to dispense surplus food our armies are leaving in Europe. He said, we can join for $150. I said, Dr. Lewis, you join and I'll find the $150. We joined CARE. Shortly after that, an article in the Reader's Digest about CARE began to bring in hundreds of thousands of dollars. And Baptist World Relief has been a constituent member of CARE ever since, sending CARE food parcels that saved thousands of lives, and more recently engaged in self-help projects. But Baptist World Relief itself has mobilized the Baptists of the world to meet needs anywhere in the world. And it works both ways. For example, a few years ago when we had a bad flood on the Mississippi, a little Baptist congregation in Europe sent an offering to Baptist World Relief to help the flood-stricken refugees along the Mississippi River. We've been able to help in many, many areas, sending parcels of food, clothing, sewing machines, more recently helping to dig wells in India to help provide water to help relieve the famine conditions there. Baptist World Relief, through Dr. Tiller and the fine representative committee, now is prepared to meet the desperate needs of any country, to mobilize the resources of Baptists to meet those needs. Not just Baptists are help, but the help is always done through the Baptist body in that country, if there is one, or through our missionaries, if there's no strong Baptist organization. And that's happened in Chile when there have been terrible earthquakes, in Honduras in the recent trouble there. It's happened in the Sahelian desert. And there we've mobilized the mission forces and the Baptist forces in the neighboring countries to the south. The mission board has sent added doctors and nurses. Baptists of the world have provided thousands of dollars worth of food and clothing and other essentials. Some of our relief money has gone through Baptist World Relief thus far to help relieve the terrible conditions that followed 5 years of drought, when people ate their seed grain, killed their last cattle, finally piled their few earthly possessions on their backs and struggled along dusty roads to find some place where they could find food and water and shelter, and perhaps some hope someday to return to the lands they'd been compelled to leave. Relief there is vital and essential. And as you and I contribute here as individuals and a seminary family and through our churches, those relief needs will be met. And wherever such a disaster comes, Baptists are ready to extend a hand of brotherhood and of help. These refugees are a very real problem, spreading by the thousands, as they did from Angola into Zaire some years ago during a time of persecution, and as they have in more recent years from the Sahelian desert countries down into the more populous countries to the south of them. And Baptists must be ready when the time comes. Some of these refugees have to be rehabilitated and sent back. For others, you have to have new homes and new churches and new jobs and new opportunities for a new life, for their lands may never be fully restored. And Baptist World Relief has done a wonderful job with refugees, not only at the present, but through the years. Some Russian refugees in Hong Kong were taken to Australia by Baptist cooperation. Literally thousands of war refugees from Europe were settled in Canada and in the United States through Baptist World Relief. It was my privilege one time to go to a little town of Riedlingen in western Germany to see just one little Baptist company of refugees. It's a moving story. They fled before the tides of war and ended up in a refugee camp in Germany. They wanted desperately to get away and have homes of their own again. But there they were, crowded in that refugee camp. They finally sent their young Baptist pastor, for this little congregation had been able to stick together in all their fleeing. They sent their young pastor out to see if he could find some town where this little Baptist family congregation could settle. He came one night, rainy, cold, and dark, to the little town of Riedlingen. And there, he didn't have any money. He wondered where he could stay. He asked the jailer if he could spend the night. The jailer said, "Well, I'd be glad to let you spend the night here, but you have to ask the mayor first." He said, "The mayor lives right across the street." He went over to the mayor's house. The good woman of the house let him in. She said the mayor was out, would be back soon, would he wait? And she looked at this cold, wet, tired man and knew he must be hungry. She fixed a meal for him, and as he sat to eat, she noticed that he folded his hands and thanked God for the food and for the one who'd prepared it. And then he prayed for his little congregation that they might find food and shelter and home again. And then he ate. When the mayor came, his wife told him about this. And to make a long story short, the mayor got the council together. They agreed to give this little Baptist congregation some acres of land on the outskirts of town. They gave them materials with which to build their homes. They gave them jobs in their factories. The women went to work in some of the homes in town. Baptist World Relief, there as it has in scores of other places, provided them money for the building of a little church. With that money, they bought the materials. With their own hands, they built their little congregational church. And there the Baptists met from Sunday to Sunday. And I went to visit them. It was late in the day. I sat for supper in the pastor's home. He and his mother lived together. For supper, we had open-faced sandwiches of black bread with slices of white radish on top. We drank lemonade, and it was good. The fellowship in that community was so good, the mayor and his wife moved out there and built a house out there themselves. I saw the men walking down the street, and I said, "Where are they going?" "Oh, they're going to choir practice." So I went to the little church. And there in that little church, they'd built a lovely place of worship for this Baptist family. God had kept faith with them. They'd kept faith with him. In the window, a beautiful window behind the pulpit, there was a scripture verse, "The Lord is in his holy temple, let all the earth keep silence before him." And on the wall, carved in a piece of stone right by the door where no one could miss it, was a verse from the Psalms. "This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes." We, my friends, are workers together with God to meet human need, spiritual and physical. And that's why we're here this morning. Shall we pray? Lord, we thank thee that we have been blessed so abundantly. Forgive us that so often we forget those in need. Help us, we pray, in our Baptist World Fellowship to be truly brothers and sisters in Christ, to share as generously as we can, that others may know the life abundant and the life eternal, that their physical and spiritual needs may be met. We thank thee for the blessed tie that binds our hearts in Christian love. Help us so to live and give. Christ may indeed be Lord of others and Lord of all. In his name we pray.